What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck. And today there's no Has. I'm a little busy doing some family stuff, so it's all a G. But I think we got a lot to talk about. We had an amazing top eight, Eugene Bound. Shout out to that tournament. I mean, Leo winning, I think, is always a good sign for Ultimate, right? Sonic's getting second again, which, I mean, at some point he's got to win, right? Statistically, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It will. It won't be surprising.
So, yeah, that was a great grand finals. Honestly, one of the best top eights this year, I'd have to say, in terms of character pool. I don't think we had any Steve. There was a bunch of quote-unquote traditional Smash characters in that top eight, which is always nice to see if you're old like us. So, yeah, I mean, I think we can just start off with Leo. Leo was cooking that tournament. Well, actually, before we even get into the tournament, sorry. It's been a while since I've been the last person on the line. How you been doing, Pink?
You know, it's a good feeling to never be the last person on the line. I'm just going to say it, bro. Like, when
just the commentator.
Just being, like, not last is lit. Like,
I'll talk to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not sitting here. I don't got to do the show. I don't got to bring it in.
Dude, like, reading the ad.
Bro.
No. Like, my worst nightmare. Ads. When I had to do that at Throne, I hated y'all.
It's so painful.
I hated y'all when I had to do that at Throne.
I appreciate
We're getting you ready.
I felt like I was presenting at school. Like,
yeah, except it's way more than just a classroom.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm great. I'm great. Really relishing not being last. Stace, she was gone for a week, so I had Little Man. That's why I wasn't on last week. I had him all week by myself. shout out to single parents, man. Y'all are out there doing the thing. Like, that joint is brutal. Yeah, so that was tough. Really tired last week, but she's back. Life's good. Work's good. Everything's good. Smash was good to watch.
We actually watched it together. I feel like it's been a long time since we did that.
Yeah, it was a little strange. I don't know what I was doing. I'm usually not up that late anymore. Yeah. But I was kind of just up, and I was like, yo, there, Nicole, watch it.
Yeah.
And I just hopped in. So it was cool watching it together. Yeah. With Gavin and Has, yes. Chuck was probably at work or something.
Like, yeah.
Time zone differences. Yeah. Yeah, life's good though.
It's like during the day for me. So sometimes I'll be able to essentially, like, while I'm working, I'll listen to the audio, or like, oh, it's game five. Like, I'll stop my work and just watch game five because I'm just like out there working by myself or whatever. But yeah, it was a great tournament to watch, man. It's sick that you guys were able to watch it in Discord too. I feel like that's something we used to all, like, all four of us used to be able to do a lot more, but, you know, we've been getting busier and stuff, so it happens less. But whenever it does happen, especially when it was a banger top eight like this one, it's always good, right?
Bro, at some point, I was like, man, if Ouch loses, I'm going to sleep. I think it was like right before he had to play Sonics, and Gavin was just like, you might as well just go to sleep now. I was like, bro, like, I mean, who knows? You never know. Bro lost, and I was just like, I'm going to bed. I was like, I'm going to bed. And I came back like 5 minutes later, like, you know what? I'm not. Like, and I'm glad I didn't, because I wouldn't have seen that double downer up smash.
That double downer up smash on Hollow. Comments, if you know, you know. Something shifted in that moment. Like, oh, he about to win.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I watched a tournament with Marcus, so that was cool. Just because, like, we're a lot of time we're in sync with stuff before it happens, so it's fun talking about matchups and, like, who's gonna win or lose and all that. This is off topic, but I just want to shout out Has, bro. He is like the glue to this show. We do not know what we're doing right now.
We're just out here vibing.
Like, we don't do a bad job, but Has, like, everything is a science with that guy. Like, all, like, the keeping talking about the viewers and the Patreon, and, like, not even that. Charles is actually the best at shouting out the Patreon, but like just like making sure everyone speaks and like, yo, he'd be like secretly controlling the whole thing. I don't know how to explain it.
Controlling like the flow of his conversation.
Yeah, the flow. Yes. He makes it flow so beautifully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, speaking of that, time to shill. If anyone's interested in improving at Smash Ultimate, I still play this game despite being old and washed. Metafy.gg/tweak. Well, there's an at in there. So, you know, metafy.gg/@tweak. We also do Patreon bonus content. I record and do VOD review. I talk about general Smash topics, like trendy things. We do bonus content together. We answer questions from the patrons. Honestly, I think it's turning into something really special with just the amount of stuff we do on there. So thank you for supporting that. And if you're interested, feel free to check it out. Patreon.com/tweaktalks. For example, at one point, Falco was a trendy thing on social media. So I just talked about Falco as a character on the bonus for like 20 minutes. About like my opinions on him, why I think people hate the character since like day one, stuff like that. There was a popular clip featuring Kazuya getting a reversal off ledge like a month back. And I just broke that clip down, talked about it, like what it means, like why people feel certain ways, how I feel. So I've been enjoying doing stuff like that. Recently, there's a clip of Yeast and Zomba.
Bro.
Like that could be another one I could do. I haven't done that one, but you know, like that would be like something that just pops up that's trendy that creates like some sort of discourse. You know what I mean? Like one side is saying this should happen a certain way, the other side saying this shouldn't happen, like, and just breaking that down and what that all means. That's been a really good time.
You know, what we could do
your own clip.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just review your clip and Gluto's clip that we recently saw on Twitter. Those are just sick clips. There were no controversy.
I don't know if I saw Gluto's clip. I would like to see that.
But bro.
Yeah, I didn't expect. I knew
right, that's what we're locking in. Good. That's what we're doing.
I knew the clip I posted was good, but I didn't know people would find it like that good compared to other bro. Stuff I've done. But yeah.
It really.
I mean, it's just. The wave bounce after the
I think it's just a couple interesting things that were sequenced in a way that I Diddy Kong doesn't normally do. So
yeah. One thing I do want to say about the Patreon content, and you can also get access to the recent Patreon content as a YouTube membership as well.
Yes.
So if you guys do want, if it's just more convenient to, you know, hook up the YouTube membership, that's also a lot easier. One thing I think is great about this too is if you just want to like, oh, okay, you pay, you know, the $5 or the $10 or however much money it is a month, right? It's not like you only get 1 week's or 1 month's worth of content. You get the library to everything.
Anything
previously.
There, well.
Right. So there is a lot of upfront value, especially, you know, when you initially get it. So I always suggest that people at least get 1 month, see what content's on there, see if you like it, see if you vibe with it or not, right? And then you can continue just for like that weekly injection. So yeah, highly recommend. And there's a lot of content out there. I mean, me and Pink pretty much complained about Steve for an hour plus, and a lot of people liked it. So they thought it was really good.
I like the general stuff and like stuff. Talking about like what the rest of the community is talking about. And just like, I don't know. Especially if you don't know what to talk about that day, it's like, okay, well, what's everyone else talking about? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Almost turning into content, man.
I'm trying.
Are you
bro.
Reacting?
It's not
the
a natural
Twitter
thing
Discord?
For me, but you know. But yeah, I don't know where to start. I guess first off, I want talking about Leo, especially considering that this cloud has just appeared out of nowhere. At least to me, it feels like it just happened. I don't know how long he's been putting effort into Cloud before these last couple events, but it's just showing up, and that's like the big difference, I think, because we didn't see, did we see any Byleth or Joker at Eugene Bound? I feel like Aegis Cloud is not a combination anyone would expect, because usually with those two characters it's like one or the other and then the second character comes in, like a lot of people don't just play both, because I feel like it's less obvious like how they cover each other, because they would be doing similar jobs,
similar weaknesses as well, right?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that to play both. And I feel like if you're playing those two characters specifically, it's not because of some sort of rigid mindset. It's not like, oh, I'm covering this, I'm doing this. It becomes more of like a feel things out, and you're just playing those two because they're strong and you enjoy it, which I think has a lot higher of a ceiling. Because if it's just like, oh, I play Cloud and I'm going to secondary Game & Watch because this is the theoretical perfect thing. But like, if someone's playing Cloud and Aegis, it's probably just because they're playing Cloud and Aegis and they work with it from there. And I think that's like a lot
stronger. Well, as a second person to do this, and the first one being extremely successful at it, the first one being Spargo.
Yeah.
I think it's shown to be a pretty strong character combination. I think for Leo, the one of the biggest issues that he would run into when he's going through brackets, obviously, was Steve. And I don't even know if Steve necessarily beats, or Cloud necessarily beats Steve.
We all know what the game plan is.
Right, and he definitely does better than his other characters. But is that even... It's like weird with Steve, because you don't like truly know until they like really sit down and put a lot of effort into the matchup, i.e. like Syrup, like doing very well against Spargo's Cloud as of recent, because he probably just put a bunch of time into the matchup and learned it. So but for now, I mean, Cloud does very well against Steve. So that probably gives him the comfortability to go into a bracket and be like, well, I don't have any matchups I need to worry about. And I think that is extremely important. Like, if you enter a tournament environment, you're going through an open bracket where you can run into, like, any character. If you have, like, one problem matchup you're trying to avoid, that one thing will just be on your brain, like, the entire bracket. Like, you're going to be playing a match, and, like, if you know your next opponent is this person or this person, like, you're, like, thinking, like, man, I hope they lose. Like, I don't want to play against this matchup. But when you're just able to, like, be comfortable and, like, have a game plan going into every set, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, whoever I have to play, like, I'm just going to slap them. So, not physically, but, you know.
Unless they make you angry, right? No.
I'm comfortable. I like the lineup. I don't know if he'll bring the other characters back. We'll see if there's a reason for it, but I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I feel like the lineup requires... at first it might sound confusing, but I think the lineup will lead to like no hesitations.
Yeah.
Like you just pick, like, cause when you pick those characters, they're strong and you like can trust yourself regardless of most matchups. And it's like, you just feel it out. And it seems like his emergency button is Rob. Cause obviously when you look at the character combination, you think of Min Min being an issue or something. Which is fair. Like I said, I usually don't like to view things like that rigid and like on paper, but it's reasonable to do so to an extent. So it looks like maybe there, like, he has something like an emergency Rob in the back of his head for some of these things that aren't quite figured out with two characters, which is fair. But yeah, I enjoyed watching the event. I thought he played well, confident, like efficient and simple, I guess, too. Like he didn't do anything too crazy. Like just, and I think Cloud can kind of help with something like that, too. This community has like been underrating Cloud ever since the character got buffed. It's insane. Like, Spargo is incredible, right? Like, once in a lifetime talent, but bro, Cloud is so ridiculously good. Like, it only makes sense that other top players could do the same. Not the same, but get good results with Cloud.
Yeah, and whether you think Cloud is good or not, I think Cloud is at least, it's really, in theory, Steve scales infinite. Right, the way I think of Steve in terms of like, technically, if you get up tilted by wood up tilt, you should die every time, right? Like technically, in theory, right? So it's a character that's weird because even Pink was mentioning it. Like for now, we feel like Cloud does well versus Steve, but what happens when Steve Kalaris gets to the point where they just touch of death every single time and yada yada yada, right? And they're doing crazy.
He would probably still be a better pick than most characters then, because the whole reason he's a good pick is because he doesn't have to get hit. So
it's dealing with the neutral aspect of Steve, right? Steve has to play neutral a bit different because it's like, okay, a bunch of range and this ranged move or this disjointed move hits really hard, back air fair. You know, and Cloud can do either facing. I mean, it's so many different aerials, right, that Cloud can use to destroy the wall. But I think Cloud is a very good pickup right now if you're just like, if the only problem is Steve, and it's just like, dang, man, I can go toe-to-toe with any of these characters, any other characters, but Steve is the issue. And I think Cloud also offers a very simplistic strategy to what Steve can do in neutral, which, like, kind of dumbs the game, or at least dumbs neutral down for Steve, where it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm really just trying to get diamond, so I just build these walls, and like my whole neutral gameplay revolves around me building walls, gaining resources, and punishing my opponent for trying to tear down my walls, right? But Cloud just destroys walls so fast, you can't mine resources to keep up with how fast Cloud destroys walls. It's the basic concept, and I really want to hear your opinion, Gavin, because I feel like the only other person that can say that they have a very... like the closest experience in terms of decision making when it comes to picking Cloud would be you. I think you and Leo, obviously very close in skill level throughout Smash 4 and Ultimate. Both of you guys were like the best Clouds in Smash 4. Obviously debatable. There was a lot of debate in Smash 4. Who was the better Cloud? Yes. I don't think we need to get into that. But yeah, you guys were very close in skill level when it came to Cloud. Definitely the top two Clouds of the game, right, in Smash 4. And then in Ultimate, Spargo comes up with Cloud, especially after the buffs, and starts doing really well and does well, particularly against Steve, which you and Leo, two Smash 4 veterans having problem with the new DLC, right? History.
That character is owning us, bro.
Right, exactly. And you guys needed an answer, and your guys' characters weren't doing as great. And a lot of the Twitter community or the Smash community in general wanted both of you guys to play Cloud. I mean,
yeah.
Bill EE was very vocal about it. There was a lot of commentators that were very vocal about it on the mic.
You want to play Cena? Chill out, bro.
Huh? Oh
God, that character is outdated.
He's been saying stuff like that.
Who?
Still Phil, solid. Yeah.
He's funny, bro. yeah, so the thing is, like, it's not that, like, we super didn't want to play Cloud, but it seemed like Leo and I were in a similar boat where, like, something wasn't clicking. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. It would be nice to find out like what clicked for Leo, or if he's still working through that and he's willing to work through that. Cause I don't think I've ever been like super willing to break that wall, and I would rather just play what I know instead. It's one of those things. I never want to fall into this, but I can't help but think this way sometimes, where it's like, oh, if I knew the character was going to get buffed, I probably would have been playing them beforehand, and then I would have been like more prepared, blah, blah, blah. So it's one of those, like, you know, what you've put your time into kind of mindset, which I try to stray from. I try to be open-minded and do things even if they're uncomfortable. But for Cloud, that's like one of the things where I just wasn't willing to, you know, I just had no anticipation at some of the changes that Ultimate would make. And I'd rather play other characters. And when I think of someone like Sephiroth, I like playing Sephiroth more because he's just newer. I played Cloud for so long in Smash 4 that I'm willing to sacrifice some sort of potential advantage for enjoyment, because I was still like winning tournaments and doing well, like with whatever characters I chose before. But yeah, Steve is obviously an issue. But yeah, maybe something clicked for Leo, or he's willing to work through it until it does. Because sometimes, like with something like that, it might just disappear without even you like truly figuring it out. You might not even have a reason to say like, "Oh, I figured it out." It's like just putting the time in. Eventually, just like it clears up without like some sort of explanation. So I think playing him in brackets in these like high pressure situations will accelerate that. And I've always said that on this show, like if you want to do something, putting pressure on yourself and doing it in a moment that seems like it would be silly otherwise, I think is really, really good. Just like being willing to do something like this when there's pressure on the line, like, says a lot. I think one of the cool things about it is it still looks like more like a Smash 4 Cloud. So I guess maybe the Smash 4 Cloud style can still work, which is cool. But yeah, there's something I really, really want to talk about today, and I don't know how to bridge it from what we're talking about right now. So I'm just going to do it because it's like Sephiroth related. And I know the closest comparison is because we're talking about Cloud, which is stupid, but I've been playing Diddy Kong and Wario when I'm like playing the game, but I had this like this night where I played Sephiroth and Elite for a handful of games.
Oh no.
And I was under this, I was playing with the mindset of, so, well, first off, I want to make sure we all agree on this, that Sephiroth's ledge trapping isn't very good.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, okay, let's break it down. Now, let's break it down for people that may not be at experience or are curious why we have these thoughts. Now, what kind of tools do you want ledge trapping? Like, and I'll ask both of you guys, since both of you guys have been professional players. Because in my brain, I first think like kind of active moves, right? Like a wolf nair, a fox nair, something spammable, right? Or even a Roy jab. I'm just thinking of characters that are strong at ledge and what moves they're doing at ledge. And then we can break down like why these moves are spammed at ledge from professional players, right? Roy jab, there's a lot of return. It's kind of active as well. Not like as active as like a wolf nair or something like that. But I guess that's just some surface level thoughts, but I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
My thoughts are a way to pressure ledge hang without sacrificing the frame advantage itself. So you're able to pressure the ledge hang, and if they get up, you still have potential ledge trapping corner pressure. So you want ways to throw out visual cues that can actually pressure them to get up while still ledge trapping them in the process. So the active moves are a good example of that, because you're giving them a visual cue and they may get up during it, and the move itself will either hit them or they'll have enough frame advantage to hit them with their second thing. And then the threatening ledge hang is also important. So you need to be able to ledge trap while having a backup plan for when it doesn't work in like two different layers. The ledge trap itself, and also having enough frame advantage to pressure and still have enough time to corner pressure them. So it's not just you either ledge trap them or you don't, and they get off out of the corner as well. Things need to flow naturally. And not all characters can check every box. And that's why if we talk about Game & Watch or Samus, one of the strengths about them isn't just the ledge trapping itself, but the fact that they're already positioned for what happens if you do get off the ledge. So they have perfect frame advantage all the time. They either confirm off of the ledge hang pressure, or you get up and they're locking your timings down, so it's easier to ledge trap your decision. Or that doesn't work and they're already backed up a character length or two for the corner pressure. It's perfect. A lot of people don't talk about the strength of the fact that they're not even there for the what happens when things go wrong. Two or three things could go wrong and it's fine. For like, it's a lot more self-explanatory with those characters because of how strong it is. But something like Roy Jab is interesting because he has almost all of that. He doesn't actually pressure the ledge hang itself too well. So it becomes this interesting thing where he has the visual cues, but when you have a lot of knowledge, you know that the visual cues are a lot of bait.
A lot of nothing if you just don't respect it.
Because if he wants to down air you, once he leaves the ground, it's your cue to do something. Or something like that. And then that's why I really like characters like that, the way they play the ledge, because then they do a lot of interesting baits around like run off stage, jump back on, because they're baiting ledge trump while you're grabbing ledge. So they're trying to get you to speed up because they don't actually have a way to make you get off the ledge. They just have all the frame advantage for when you do. So there's so many differences. But for Sephiroth, something that's hard is when he's ledge trapping or pressuring ledge hang, it's do or die a lot of the time. So a lot of the time he's prioritizing corner pressure. So it's very empty, a lot of information gathering. And in order for you to successfully ledge trap, you have to have a huge read on your opponent and a lot of information and just a good grip on the match in general. So his ledge trapping becomes a lot of the non-sword moves. Jab, down tilt, grab, neutral air. Things that can have enough frames to work. Like, because you're a human being that isn't perfect. You're not reacting with everything. A lot of people think F-tilting and neutral get-up is a reasonable thing. That is not a reasonable strategy. It literally doesn't even happen. A lot of the time they press the button, or when you do get it, it's like a miracle. It's happened to me, like, not very often.
It's not tournament consistent.
So it becomes a thing where you're trying to pressure them. You're trying to keep them in the corner, keep their shield unhealthy. It's humble. It's not anything crazy. You're not forcing anything out of them. You're just hoping they drop shield a lot of the time. It's pretty poor. So when I was playing, it became this thing of, okay, instead of just collecting a bunch of information all the time, which is reasonable because you want to save your control the stage, control the corner, maybe get a little bit of ledge trapping here and there. I was like, I'm going to get a little more bold on the edge guard, to the point where, like, it wasn't even last stock and I was like Octa slashing them to have like a big lead. You know what I mean? Like instead of like a 3-2 lead and like it takes a while, it's like, all right, 2-1, get a wing, try to finish it there, like that kind of thing. Lots of ledge slip forward air, like where I was just getting more bold with the insurance that he is a bit of a unique character at getting off the ledge with the stab. So it's like you can kind of justify being risky off stage because you're not as much of a traditional character at getting off ledge. It's not the greatest tool ever, but it is different.
Well, even ledge drop re-octo slashing, like charging up octo slashing, going back to ledge, like from ledge drop to it's a pretty sizable disjoint. Yeah. It's not like it's not punishable whatsoever.
It was just one of those.
Definitely going to get away with it a couple times. Yeah,
I just wanted to be a bit more dynamic because, like, it's so respectful to your opponent to like let them grab ledge, knowing you're one of the weaker ledge trappers, and it was just like, let me just present different things to them and like. Grab the momentum myself. And it's interesting because it goes against a lot of the strategies. I'm not saying you need to pick one or the other. I like to mix it. But it kind of changed how I looked at a couple things with Sephiroth. And it was Elite Smash, like whatever. Like the games were going well. They probably would have went well regardless of what stance I took. Not to be like super arrogant. But yeah, it was... I'm curious how y'all feel about it. I was basically doing like a lot of like, I'm trying to kill you with Octa Slash at 40%. Like, I fuck it. or like ledge slip fares. And like when you have wing, it becomes a bit more insurance because of the extra jump and just playing into the character's strengths, even if it feels a little forced, because like, why play into his weaknesses? You know what I mean? At that point, I'd rather even go off stage than go for a 2-frame at that point, because there's weirdly more insurance to that than the 2-frame, the ledge trap. Because as good as his corner pressure seems, it's like it's getting to the point where like, is his corner pressure even that good? It's just better than his ledge trap. Is it actually good though? Like,
so my brain, unfortunately, I've had Smash Brain recently.
Yeah.
So I've been like randomly messaging Gavin like stuff about Smash, and Chuck brought up ledge trapping, and I'm like thinking about ledge trapping and Sephiroth's corner pressure and like how that all plays together, because realistically, there's like obviously the levels of ledge trapping, right? Like Gavin mentioned Game & Watch and Samus, and I think they are like the easy examples because they put something there, they force a timing.
Yeah.
And they also force you to pick certain options because you want to avoid getting hit by the original object, right? So you don't want to do neutral get up into the bomb because you get hit by a fully charged charge shot and you die. Yeah. So not only are they controlling your timings, they're controlling the options that you're choosing. Same with Game & Watch. Like, you're not going to neutral get up into the bacon. He's just
gonna, that's true. Combos in a forward tilter back.
Yeah, there,
like, usually just, the first you get hit by like four of those things and it does like 1,000. It's like
you just get true combo.
They spike you sometimes.
Like, yeah, sometimes they don't. Right, so it's like, those characters, it's like, obviously you've seen that a million times. They're like the best at it, right? And then you go into like the Royce, who can threaten your ledge hang, but like realistically they're gonna hit you with like a weak jab and you're just gonna reset to ledge, because at that point they're kind of controlling what you're doing, but you have ways out, right? Like you can roll past the jab, you can just take the hit and like reset, and then they can't really gather your timings, because if you're willing to hold ledge as long as possible, that's when, of course, like Gavin said, they're going to start doing the jump down air, and now you have cues to get up, right? So with Sephiroth, it's like Sephiroth has things that hit the ledge, right? So like charging Octoslash hits the ledge. But like you see him charging Octoslash and like there's an infinite lag, right? And then like F-Tilt hits some ledge hangs, down smash hits some ledge hangs, but like think of the startup on those moves, right? So it's like there's infinite startup, and then most of the moves aren't even active. Like they're like active for like one frame. Octoslash is like a long move, so whatever, right? So it's like the ledge trap doesn't threaten you on the ledge at all, and he doesn't even have active moves to cover the areas that you could, that he's trying to force you to, right?
Yeah.
So let's say like F-Tilt's a common example. Bro, you could just F-Tilt their neutral get up. Okay, but what about the other options? Like, how are you forcing them to do neutral get up as Sephiroth?
That's why I like preemptive doing angled up F tilt. If I had to pick, I'd rather like to catch the startup of their jump at that
point. Yeah, right.
It's not even active enough or fast enough to hit neutral get up anyway.
So yeah, so with Sephiroth, it's like he has no way to like force you to pick an option that he wants, and then when he forces you to the corner, he might get one, maybe two chances to truly pressure you. Like, let's say he back airs your shield from like max distance or whatever. And now what? Like, he's not going to follow up with like it's a two frame move or something like that. Or like, there's not like immediate pressure afterward. He might have to jump again and like do the 15 frame startup move or whatever to try to keep the pressure going. So it's like this weird thing where with some characters, like Joker, for example, Joker doesn't have the best ledge trapping, but if Joker puts you in the corner, especially if he has Arsene, suddenly there's a ton of pressure because, oh snap, this rapid fire back air, douche, 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 like you're scared, so you can't hold shield too long. You want to pick something because you're trying to avoid the back air. With Sephiroth, bro just throws one thing out and it's like,
your turn.
All right, your turn. Like, so I could see the approach of like going for the edge guards, because realistically it's not like you're truly gaining something by letting them like land in the corner, right? Like it's not like you're like putting yourself in like this omega winning situation. You just have them in the corner and it's like, okay, well I get my chances, but you also get your chances off stage. So it's like, which one has the higher payoff and which one's less risky? Because that's what you're really gauging. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to justify the payoff of the guard because it's already a strength. Plus, there's a little bit of insurance compared to if a normal character were to abandon the typical ledge trap and corner pressure strategy. You know, like, let's say with Diddy Kong, let's say I said for some crazy freaking reason that I was done ledge trapping. It's like, okay, well, if I went for edge guards, at least I can go to the other side of the stage afterwards to avoid like that kind of insurance. With Sephiroth, it's a similar thing where it's like, okay, at least there's some weird stuff going on with the winged third jump and the fair wall stab and the Octoslash to justify maybe going off stage a bit more and being a bit more reckless or bold.
What's interesting about Sephiroth going off stage, especially if you already have a wing, is one, he has more jumps than most characters in the game, but two, he has the range to where he can threaten you to use your one air dodge or your one double jump, where like take the corner pressure, for example, there's a shield. Like you can use a shield as much as you want until it breaks, obviously. So it's like multiple attempts, but if you get the right angle with like the right hitbox and maybe like you're high and far enough off stage and you go for like a forward air and the air dodge, now they're in a weird situation to where maybe you can take the stock, right? Yeah. And like that feels more consistent than trying to read someone. It's like you're like forcing someone to choose a bad option through like your gameplay and your pressure than trying to like read someone's defensive option out of the corner.
Yeah. I think I'm a big believer of giving your opponent the benefit of the doubt. And in the sense of if them being on the ledge or cornered versus Sephiroth, they've been in a ledge or corner scenario. And if they're in a ledge or a corner scenario versus a character that's not even good at it, I believe in them to navigate it well enough to not lose. They might get hit or something might go wrong, but I believe if they're presented in that situation a lot, they would probably eventually win the game with their own strengths versus Sephiroth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they would get more chances than the Sephiroth, realistically. And that's why a lot of the time when I'm teaching Sephiroth on Manaphy, I call these scenarios neutral two for Sephiroth, where for a lot of characters, when they get their opening, it's advantage. They're winning. They have their stuff. They know what they're doing. A lot of the time for Sephiroth, it's more layered than that. If he gets an up throw into a neutral air, it's not advantage yet. It's neutral too. You need them to burn their resources, and then you can it's a lot more layered compared to, I don't know, Pikachu got grab. Like, it's as simple as advantage. So I'm just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt to where I would rather present them in chaotic, I would rather present chaotic scenarios to them of me trying to edge guard them, going crazy, because I believe that a good player would be more likely to fold there than to fold when they're getting ledge trapped or corner pressured by Sephiroth. And then naturally, I would want that to complement his weakness of ledge and corner to where the game state will speed up to where when they are grabbing ledge and getting out of corner, they're playing it faster because of previous interactions. So there's also that. We haven't even mentioned that part yet. Technically, that's up to the player and depends on how influenced they are. But it's more likely to be the case if Sephiroth is threatening run off, run back on, ledge trumps and ledge slips and blah, blah, blah. And that's already inherently threatening two frames as well. I just think this goes a much longer way and it's more likely to win versus a lower level opponent because you're just going to kill them outright. And versus a higher level opponent, it's more likely to present a situation to them that they're less comfortable with. Because if I, like personally, if even if I wasn't a Sephiroth player, if I was playing against Sephiroth as any character and the ledge in the corner was that humble, there's no way I'm letting you beat me. I'm like, you're saying I'm getting this many chances. Like, it's not even just like, oh, if I grab the ledge, I'm good. It's not layered at all. Like that kind of thing. And if something does go wrong, it's not like I'm immediately losing for it. Right. Like I'm not getting hit by bacon smash attack or charge shot. Like, it's like, it might even be a weak aerial or something, or a forward throw from Sephiroth, like something more like consistent, you know. It's been my thought process. Like I said, when I've been practicing, I've been playing Wario and Diddy Kong, but this Sephiroth thing popped up and it does create interest. I do love the character, but I don't know. I've always viewed him a little bit as a gambler character just because of a lack of certain things. Like, I've always weirdly associated him with, like, Ganondorf type stuff, where it's
Ganon with a sword, bro. Or actually, Ganon has a sword.
Where it's like, oh, I could reset in this scenario, but I'm going to go for this wing up smash. Like, like once in a while type of thing, where it's like, why not? Like, it feels like managing your risk and gambling a little bit, kind of like a heavyweight in a weird way. Where you just need... You need to create some sort of weird scenario or else the game state gets so linear. Like, so many Sephiroth
counter, bro.
I dabbled with Sephiroth for a bit.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you were watching Xanadu, and I don't remember who I played. It was a Greninja. Mm-hmm. And the one thing you said, you're like, I like that you were willing to use all his moves.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that you have to keep in mind if you want to play
Sephiroth. Don't just F-tilt back air, bro.
You can't, like, bro. You have to
your use... Your opponent's going to figure it out, if not
the
already.
The jab has to come through. Yeah. The down tilt has to come through. Like, you need to start just up throw, just start charging at up B. Like, you never know, man. Like, yeah. Yeah, like just silly
it's
stuff like that.
It's the same philosophy as the edgeguarding thing. So yeah. Why not apply it to the other things we're talking about? It's technically... It is the same sort of mindset where it's like, cash out.
Like if I'm like,
scare them.
You're out there. Yeah, exactly. Because, like,
you're probably going to lose anyway.
He has, like, Sephiroth's weird in the case, like, you know how, like, Byleth has, like, weird shield break setups. And, yes. Like, you think about those when you're fighting Byleth, but you don't really think about them until it happens.
So much worse. So, down smash is only good against opponents that don't know it's bad.
Yes.
Because if you can always tell when you're playing an opponent that isn't sure exactly how much damage to the shield down smash does. Because if they have a healthy shield, but they're playing in a way where they think that it's going to break, that's a player that could lose. But when they know down smash doesn't actually do much, even with wing, it becomes a lot easier to manage your shield and play against the character that way because you have a shield. But you can tell when an opponent isn't exactly sure, and it gets a lot easier to dismantle them. But yeah, with Byleth, it's like it actually does break the shield. Like it does enough shield damage to where both of us know the shield can be broken. With Sephiroth, it's like
one forward air, and you're just locked in on Byleth. With Sephiroth,
if it did a little bit more, and that's why I like up smash. Theoretically more than down smash as a move, because down smash has the earthquake hitbox.
I call them rocks. Cool.
I appreciate that. But let's say it's a cornered opponent or something, and you have wing, and they're like waking up with neutral get up. I much prefer up smash, like back hit, catches the jump better. It does similar amounts of shield damage. And it has that safety as they're getting up with the wing. Like, they're stuck, man. It's like, that move's so strong. It's like a Pikachu dash attack on shield type of scenario. It's just better. Like, up smash is better because on all these stages, it's covering the whole platform. Down smash is the most interesting one because of the bonus qualities it has, but up smash can surprisingly do more despite being a simpler move. I do like down smash to try to catch people mistiming their options and like catching them jumping and they get hit, but it's also not even strong enough to justify using it a lot of the time because it's kind of like down air where it sends to that corner.
That joint don't kill.
So overall, I think his smash attacks are like super bad, but I think up smash is his best one, and you just wouldn't expect that because down smash seemed to have the most layering put into it through design. But it doesn't get the job done. And then F smash, I'm just not a fan of it. 9 times out of 10. So
yeah, I guess my thoughts on this topic is when I first think of Sephiroth in general as a character, it's just tough because when I think of all the different general advantage states, you know, there's ledge trapping, there's offstage, there's juggling, right? Yeah. Those are the three general advantage states of Smash. Sephiroth's offstage is definitely the strongest of all three of his by far. And some people might think, oh, but the juggling's pretty good because the up air covers all the range. But I actually think it's ass. I think his juggling is, it might not.
Well, if you get past neutral too, which we're talking about, it's okay. Right. It's like, okay.
It's all right.
It's better than his ledge trapping.
It's better than his.
It's better than his ledge trapping.
His ledge trapping is ass.
It's just a more open state of the game and you're more likely to get something nice.
Right, but it's not like it to me when I think of good juggling. I mean, I main Fox, so the first thing I'm gonna think of is Fox. Fox can throw out very low risk, fast, snappy options that lead to very high reward, right? Even when we're thinking of Samus or Game & Watch, which we've been comparing for ledge trapping in terms of the peak of ultimate ledge trapping, where or even say something like a bell mount or something like that. It's they're covering multiple options that are low risk. They can't really get hit from the position that they're throwing out the option from. And what do they get from it? They get stocks. What is the most valuable thing you can get in Smash? It's stocks.
Conserving your frame advantage while pressuring the ledge hang is like the biggest strength.
Yes. Like, and it can get the stocks. Positioning
and frame advantage for if it goes wrong. But you're setting up the perfect scenario for it to go right.
The lowest amount of risk for the highest reward in Smash Brothers, right? That's like that is pretty much peak ledge trapping. If your character cannot get hit, throw out an option that covers multiple things and covers ledge hang to force timing, because that's the main thing you want to cover, and you get stocks. So already Sephiroth, not even close to the same ballpark in terms of ledge trapping. Not even close. Actually, like completely, probably bottom of the barrel when it comes
to. He has a hard time restricting your timings, restricting your options, giving you any sort of cue to scare you. And it's just always been an issue. And it's been a thing where a lot of the time it's like, okay, so we have to go, we have to take it back a step. Let's collect information so you see, so we can figure out the person behind the controller, right? So then our ledge trapping can work if we know the person. And it's, you know, it's just I've been straying away from it a little bit and seeing how it goes.
I have an idea.
What's
the idea?
I have an idea. Always Smash Brain's happening. Okay, you know how like Sephiroth's Nair is kind of large, right?
Yeah,
like it's kind of large, like
it's his only move.
can it hit ledge hangs?
Oh, you're saying like a. This reminds me of Sonic Nair or Wario Nair, right? Where it's like you go off stage with it and then you come back on.
Or Pink, are you saying like you're landing on the stage with the bottom hit of Nair
to
catch ledge hang?
You would have to go like off the stage.
Back air. Oh, yes, go off.
In this, for this move in particular, you would have to go off the stage.
All right, I'm asleep. Never mind.
Sleep.
But it does play well into the runoff, faint ledge trump, runoff, do a rising aerial. Sleep. It's good.
If you could be like almost F tilt distance, like back air distance, but you could shore hop and land like a reverse Nair to hit a ledge hang, that would suddenly like the thing, it just the thought crossed my mind. My bad. All right, my bad, Chuck.
Would simplify the game state a lot.
So some of these other characters that might not have Game & Watch or Samus level ledge trapping, we're thinking more like Foxes, the Roys, where you don't have a move that directly threatens ledge hang.
Everything else.
Right, but you cover everything else. But what do these characters like to do to compensate for that? They like to use ledge trump to get to force their opponent off the ledge. For example, if you are a fan of Light, which I'm a huge fan of Light, so I've watched him evolve his gameplay, and one thing that he's been doing lately that's very strong is ledge trump. Into opponent reacts to ledge trump, they go for normal get up. Light will ledge drop, double jump, but like sink very low.
Smash after the Nair, bro.
Yes, but the thing is, the thing that makes it genius, or I think it's really smart, but he actually drops a little lower, so he gets sour Nair on the normal get up and not hard Nair. Because if he instantly ledge drop double jumps Nair, he gets hard Nair, which you can't combo. But if he drops low enough, he will come up with the sour Nair because he dropped low enough, and then he starts up the double jump Nair drift in, but he's lining up the sour hit of Nair onto normal get up. So you don't have to be perfectly timed. What did we say is really strong with ledge traps? It's active moves. That active moves are very good for catching normal get up and ledge jump. That's like the two main forefront things you want to cover, because ledge roll, you have the most amount of frames to react to ledge roll, right? Ledge roll is the easiest thing to cover if you're in position for it already. So, and then Roy can obviously do things like ledge trump into back air or up air, depending on the DI of your trump. Sephiroth, it's like, oh, you go for the ledge trump. Your moves are so slow that you can really only get Nair or some kind of positioning advantage.
You need a shot of Nair on them to do anything abnormal.
So even shittier. So for me, even when I think about Sephiroth and so let's even go a tier lower for ledge trapping, right? So some characters that don't even want, like some characters that have such good corner pressure or such good juggling, which we've already stated, Sephiroth, not the greatest at. We established that, you know, back air is a lot of startup. Even like being against Fox in the corner or Cloud in the corner compared to Sephiroth, two very different worlds, because after the Fox or Cloud back air, you're worried about the rising back air from
both. It's not your turn.
You're ready, like there's a tilt that come afterwards to like catch anything that you do, a shield grab, whatever, right? Or a dash back and you hug the air into like they run up to you, dash attack or up smash, right? There's so many different layers from that back air, whereas Sephiroth is like, oh, well, I could jump again to set up another back air, perhaps. Like, that's kind of it, right? And then if you panic jump, double jump over them, or just jump over them, then Sephiroth's like, okay, what? You're threatening up air, which doesn't even frame trap. So if you neutral air dodge through the up air, it's not like neutral air dodging through like a fox.
He just keeps getting... It'll reach a point if the Sephiroth player plays it well, in theory, if both players play it well. Let's say it starts with them in the corner, right? He hits their shield once. It's good. It's good. It's not. It's nothing special. But I do think it's important for Sephiroth players to have the mindset of, I want their shield smaller than mine all the time so I can establish something. Otherwise, it'd be really hard to justify pressing your buttons. It's a lot easier to deal with an opponent when you know they have less of a resource than you. A lot of people are, most players are very, very bad at managing their shield.
It's true.
Almost every player ever, actually. Like, almost every player. But that's a, maybe it's not another, maybe we will talk about it.
I didn't think it was a thing until I played pre-patch Min Min, and I would hit somebody's shield one time.
It's so much more obvious.
And then I would see, like, the panic.
They think it's not an option anymore. They think shield no longer exists, which is the best thing for you. Or they think, oh, I have to hit the Min Min player to get my shield back, and they just start playing terribly. This is why zoners are successful a lot of the time, by the way, is because of this thing that happens every game. That's why everyone starts spot dodging and rolling, and they just get comboed, bro, because they're just playing so obvious. Or they dash attack into the Pac-Man and they get belled, like, whatever. So this is what happens. The Sephiroth player hits the shield. The player inches out of the corner. Or let's use Charles' example, right? They jump. The Sephiroth player can't just up air. They have air dodge and double jump. They can't just
up air. Too committal.
Imagine up airing in place. Okay, neutral air dodge, smash attack. Like, something like you can't, like, you could. But they need to do their second thing after the jump. So guess what? You're backing up again. The first back air, when you hit their shield, you are already retreating or farther away. It gets to the point where you will eventually be cornered while they, like, it would get, they, you will go stage to stage. Like, they will just keep inching forward during your startup. And it gets so difficult to press his buttons because of this idea. And that's why Slingshot is so crucial on him. Because you're able to position yourself without pressing anything just yet. And you're waiting for them. And you're trying to see how they play around the fact that they have less shield than you, hopefully. And that's where you try to get the smaller advantages. Like, you try to get them with the Shadow Flare. So you don't have to corner yourself or keep pressing the same button. Because like I said, there is no way you're going to win Kagaribi by just back airing and F-tilting with Sephiroth. You won't. And if you do,
Ken will show you.
And if you do, that's more on them than you doing something well. I'm sorry. Like, that's on the turn, like the people you play against. Like, they are really making so many mistakes. So we're just trying to, like, evolve this, you know. So
I do think that one of Sephiroth's best moves is forward air. It's a
combined slingshot, especially.
Yes, I think retreating flick shot into fair, it has enough activity where it's sometimes it can catch roll. It's not like the craziest active move, but it's for the range you get.
You're shaving off one frame than if you were pressing back air all the time.
Yeah.
And you're technically, let me double check that. I'm pretty sure it's literally one frame faster than back air.
But yeah, it feels two frames faster.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's quicker. It is also a bit more active. And I think specifically, it's that kind of move, forward air, is one of the dream moves, honestly, offstage. I think Sephiroth's forward air almost reminds me of like a Brawl DDD back air, where in Brawl, I would just like jump with the... obviously, it helps when you have five jumps. But like, you would back air with DDD and fastball, and you would like cover this area of like, okay, I have an active weak hit, and I'm really just trying to hit you out of double jump. In this, like,
you're doing it in a ledge slip way without ledge slipping, especially because you have the five jumps. You're able to perfectly time it and position it with their timing and placing a hitbox at like ledge slip area. So Sephiroth's best tools for edge guarding are just fair in neutral air. Because neutral air
will counter. Counter is also very strong against certain recoveries.
That's when they're checked. Like Octoslash counter is like, okay, you were screwed regardless type of thing.
But fair is how you get there. Fair and air is how you get to that point.
Fair is like how you get there. And then neutral air is how you facilitate fair. So like by hitting them and keep hitting them, like pushing them out or whatever. Right. Especially with wing when you have the extra jumps.
So. But Sephiroth doesn't have that checkmate for ledge trapping or juggling, which is my main point. Like the cherry on top is the Octoslash, is the counter. Like Marcus
said, you got to up B once in a while. Which is interesting because Blade Dash is probably the Sephiroth player base's weakest area. They're not very good at being creative with Blade Dash.
It's a complex move.
Whether it's in any state of the game, neutral advantage, disadvantage, the move is... I want to say fantastic. I don't want to say fantastic. The move is good. Because, you know, so many people love getting to the ground quickly. They like air dodging or swinging during you blade dash to reset them. Down tilt, blade dash, that kind of thing is really good at popping them back up and getting them to the point where it's like, you better burn your double jump eventually. And then once they burn their double jump, it's like, all right, now I have access to instant double jump up air, instant double jump back air, or forward air in general. And that's the other thing. You have to IDJ a lot of your aerials or else you're not going to have enough frame advantage to reset them. Because like what Charles was talking about pressuring people and then frame trapping, Sephiroth can't do that. He might not even be able to do it with IDJ, but you have to do it to give yourself a chance.
To have a chance, you have to IDJ the up air, for sure.
And bear. Because you're doing these aerials at full hop height with no lag compared to if you do full hop up air or back air, that shit is cheeks, bro.
But the shitty thing about the juggle situation, it's like, okay, you got the air dodge of Sephiroth. What on reaction are you going to hit him with? You can't get him with a smash attack. It's not like you're Fox and you're just like, oh, there's the air dodge.
Yeah.
Shake my hand, hold this up smash.
I love doing, like, let's say my opponent's landing like this, right? And let's say they do the air dodge. I love doing like that come back in down tilt, like pivot down tilts, things like that. Or like Shadow Flare is obviously a solid reset. Blade Dash is good in those spots for the same reason where you're moving away from them. And I do really like, technically, if you're trying to finish the job, Dash Attack is probably one of the moves I personally could be a lot better with over the years. It's just really hard to perfectly implement it. But it's strong. It's active.
Here's my issue with Dash Attack. Is if you don't catch them right at the ledge, like if it's cross stage, that move ain't killing, bro. That move is just one. That's what I don't like about Dash Attack. That's your only option to really catch landings, but it's situational if they even get the stock or not, or if you get the stock or not, because of it just depends. If they have a lot of room to DI, you're just not going to get the stock for the most part, even at like 130. So that part is the really damper on those situations. But when it comes to offstage, that's where I feel like where Sephiroth can feel bullshit. You want, like, that's the only time, in the words of Ping, that's the only time it feels like Sephiroth is cheating. I do think Sephiroth is one of the stronger characters when it comes to edgeguarding. I legit think that fair is very good. Even Octoslide, like, if you, here's with edgeguarding with Sephiroth, it kind of feels like year one wolf edge guarding, where it's like, okay, I'm gonna run off. We weren't ledge slipping back then, but I'm gonna run off Nair. Then I have a double jump Nair. Yeah. If I missed both of those with how active they were, you're kind of ass, but whatever. You know, hey, you got chance number three, you got B reverse up B to ledge, and especially year one of ultimate, the last hit of up B was very large, kind of like Octoslash, not as big as Octoslash, but it was reminiscent of that, and it had a continuous hitbox up there, so it's like.
He actually edgeguards to this day in a similar way.
Yes, exactly. Like, okay, there's the first fair. There's the second fair. Oh, I missed. Like, that's like a very dumbed down layer one like, version of
being straight up while they're recovering type of thing.
Yeah, like, and then you sunk. You're right below the ledge. You B reverse the up B. So you're like, oh, if you drop down here to grab the ledge, I'm up being, and I'm also going to send you out again. Yes. Right. So
and it has insurance.
You do have a lot of chances. If it doesn't
work out, we're just both on ledge. Like, having the insurance is always good. And yeah, Wolf does weirdly edgeguard the same way. Sephiroth is just a DLC version of it.
Got a bit more range, less activity. Yeah, he has the counter. Wolf there and then the counter too. Yeah,
but even Wolf, like having his like Wolf Flash to like spike you as you're recovering is like a weirdly similar type of play style of like trying to checkmate people and like kill them early. But yeah, because I want to just play into this, like theoretically play into the strength more, because what I originally did was like play with the mindset of like, I'm going to take their resources away to the point where this counter or this Octoslash is like guaranteed. So I'm just going to choke them out, like forward throw them off the stage over and over until Mario's percent is so high, I'm just going to counter his uppie. Like that kind of thing. But it's like, how do we facilitate the edge guarding through ledge trapping and corner pressure? Uh-oh. That doesn't sound smart. Like when I word it like that. So it's like, why don't we just cut to the chase? Like
just double down on your strengths. Sephiroth is not, I feel like your mindset with Smash, since you have been doing it,
I've always thought it conflicted with Sephiroth. Like my general way of playing and stuff. It's always been tough to think about that and accept that.
Well, you're trying to find consistency, right? Especially, I think for you, you've been a pro player, I mean, just right out of high school, right? So it's when it's your career on the line, you're trying to solve the pro Smash career thing, right? Like, how do I solve this game to the point where I can get in the top eight every tournament I go to? And it involves finding consistency, right? So it's like, okay. Well, edge guarding is known of all the three basic forms of advantage state. Edge guarding is the one that's known for having the highest reward, but it is also the highest risk. If something goes wrong off stage, you can just lose your stock at 0%. That is something that can happen. So you mitigate that. And I think Smash 4 and Ultimate are more of games where it's like, okay, well, taking the ledge trap slash corner pressure is generally going to yield consistent results throughout a long period, like throughout a bunch of
brackets. Without, regardless of character, it's just, you know,
generally but I think with Sephiroth specifically, your ledge trapping, corner, and juggling are so ass that it almost feels like you have to, kind of like you said, double down on the quote-unquote Ganondorf aspect of Sephiroth and just be like, fuck it, I'm going crazy off stage, like I'm throwing out these fares, like, because it doesn't,
I still want to analyze the situation and know my frame advantage and like play well, but like I said, I also have the ultimate goal of, because I'm doubling down on the strength, it will complement the weaknesses throughout the matches. To where, because like I said, a lot of it starts at, how do we get to the point where landing these slow, not active moves, like how do we get to the point where they are likely, like they're, that we can land them on a good player? And it's through the shield theory, right? Like keeping their shield low, controlling them that way. And it's like the same thing. If we just threaten edge guards and stuff like that, because honestly, I don't think Sephiroth's bad at edge guarding, but I will say over the years, I've heard some people say some things I didn't necessarily agree with. I don't think he's that crazy at it. I just think he's
wing or no wing.
I think everything. I don't know if I was ever silly. When he has wing. I don't know if I would ever say he's crazy.
He is silly when he has wing.
Silly?
I think
so. He is cheating off stage.
I think he's good.
It depends. Okay, hold on. It depends on, I do think it depends on distance that they are off stage. Like,
that's the thing. When they're checkmated, it gets to the point where in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, most characters finish the job there. With Sephiroth, it's so clear when he finishes the job that they had no chance. It's kind of similar to the ledge, where he's doing all this stuff at the ledge, and I'm like, everyone's saying he's crazy, and I'm like, is he?
Well, I think if, like,
I don't think he's that crazy at edge guarding. I just think it's better than everything else.
Let's say, like, let's compare to, like, a character who's, like, insane, like, actually crazy at edge guarding. Bayonetta, okay? If Bayonetta throws you off stage at, like, 40, let's say she F threw you at 40, yeah, I mean, she's either going to hit you for 2 million percent more, or she might take your stock. If Sephiroth does that with like a forward tilt at like 40, he's probably not taking your stock. And I think,
because he doesn't have enough frame advantage to charge the Octoslash.
That, and also,
they will grab the ledge before the Octoslash is ready.
That, and I think that he needs a lot of space to work with to chop away the options as you're returning to stage. So if like
Bayonetta witch twists you, and she can do that to you before you even do your double jump or air dodge.
Because exactly.
She can be dynamic with it.
When the distance that the punt against Centaur stage isn't very large, then I don't think he's like super crazy, wing or no wing. But if like you land like near back air or something with wing and they're at like 60 off stage,
probably just go out there.
Just go out there, bro. Like he's ridiculous. You can't, he's just gonna poke at you with the forward air and you're just gonna have to like figure it out from there. Which is a good thing to say. Like a lot of characters get that in a lot of situations. So yeah. It is something that is a positive about him.
Yeah. There's certain characters where I think Sephiroth is in that crazy tier. Like I think you can do crazy things to Fox off stage. You can do crazy things to like Peach. Like there's certain characters that I feel like can't do shit against Sephiroth off stage, but usually it's compensated with Sephiroth can't do anything against them on the stage, obviously. But like,
yeah. I kind of like thinking about the floaty characters specifically because you're so much more likely to strip resources from them when they're floaty. But when they're faster in whatever way, it gets weird to where you don't have enough frame advantage to truly threaten your best tool.
Your slow frame advantage feels much more punishing.
Dude, like sometimes when I was playing these few Elite Smash games and like being a lot more bold, the similar situation that Marcus is talking about where like it's like mid percent and they're like not far off stage yet, I would try to do the Octoslash and like I would be like a couple frames off and their air dodge would just get right to the ledge, like that kind of thing. And it's just like, I wish there was one extra layer to this where I could find consistency and just like taking stocks whenever I like, if I was like bold and played it well, like, cause in some matchups they're floaty enough to where like that's consistent, but you know,
I see what you're saying that's when the
jump backward, like you're threatening back air, fast fall, jump back on, landing there.
That type of stuff is good in these
moments. That's when it comes back. That's when I'm back.
If someone's recovering that fast, it's already a good sign that you're developing something interesting. So,
but the fact that you have to layer it so deep because to me, recover or edge guarding feels weak when your opponent has or your opponent's in a situation where it's like, oh, I can just do this directional air dodge from this point and I guarantee get back to ledge. I mean, it doesn't necessarily ensure your safety after you get back to the ledge, but when you have that guaranteed route where it's like, oh, you, even if you wanted to, like your character just simply doesn't have enough frame advantage or simply is not quick enough to get to me in these specific scenarios, right? So I can see where your take is on that, but I guess when I think of edge guarding specifically, I just think of the bare bone moves. I'm thinking Sephiroth forwarder. I'm thinking of like the threat of the things that the cherry on top, the end of the edge guard, like the counter. Because even counter, if you can line up the counter and you do strip.
I mean, his counter is truly fucked up. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It just hit
the ledge.
Right. So it's just, it kind of depends. Like Pink says, the counter isn't that big of a deal if the character can directional air dodge to ledge. How high did they get launched up? How far did they get launched up?
But
when I think of the individual just like moves for edge guarding, I'm not necessarily tying it to the fact of like, oh, how much frame advantage does Sephiroth even have to utilize said tools after getting a hit at 40 or 50%, right? That's like I'm not thinking that deep. I'm more of like layer one thinking just, of like these moves are cracked off stage.
It just becomes a scenario where you have to be so good at keeping them into the point where you get to the point where you have enough frame advantage to threaten your strongest tools. And it's like ledge slip and two framing and like fainting the ledge trumps and getting like a neutral air, like a rising neutral air on an air dodge. Like you have to really surgically get rid of their resources. And sometimes I don't even know if you have enough frame advantage for that, which is hard. And then like once in a while, you'll reach a point where, I don't know, you're up against some character where their recovery naturally could kill you early if you mess up. And that goes wrong for Sephiroth. And it's like,
sheep.
I'm just going to ledge trap or corner. And like, it becomes this weird cycle. Like, you know, I've played with Jackal so much over the years. And it's like, sometimes I have the mindset of like, all right, I'm going to push, pressure. We'll flash at zero. Cause I like slightly misplayed. And it's like, that's not good that can happen. So it's like, you know, because like maybe I was simply predicting an up B instead, or like I was going for something that would get me a stock, and it's, you know, compared to a character like Sonic that could do all of this without even having a chance of like something going that wrong, because he's not even there. The spring is doing it for him. So it's like, you know,
Or just like, oh, I'm gonna cover low with Sonic or Pikachu. And I always say that Sonic and Pikachu are just like the cracked versions of offstage because they have the ability of doing this. Or Pichu can also do this with Thunder, but it's just like, oh, I'm gonna put my hurt box low to cover low. Oh, but you double jumped and went high. Cool, spring up, Thunder with Pikachu or Pichu, right? Like these are characters that can cover high and low simultaneously on React.
It's very interesting. You've talked about that a lot.
Yeah. That's cracked. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. You've talked about the strength of that a lot.
It's very unique.
I appreciate the conversation. This is a kind of a developing thing. It's just weird because it conflicts a little bit with my whole play style of like collecting information and consistency. And there's probably a way to weirdly just branch it into that. But it just becomes more of an edge guarding thing instead.
I think you have two different play styles, and you've just chosen to choose the consistent one. But when I think about like some of the clips you get,
it applies just to this like kind of idea more
when a character first comes out and you're using just your imagination and your creativity, then you're willing to do more things like you were doing. Like if you look at your older Sephiroth clips or when he first came out, you were just off stage.
Never been whimsical hurt before.
Yeah, you've never been hurt before. And like I think that when you are using your creativity and imagination, it makes it a lot easier to play Sephiroth. But if you're looking for something that's gonna be consistent, you might as well not even click the character, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
But I do think playing the character could actually make you better, or at least put you in scenarios where, because you can still collect information, but with edge guarding, there's risk to collecting said information, right? Like you're putting your character off stage. And I think that's the part where you're like a little, oh, maybe if I just faint off, like act like I'm going off stage, but then like collect information like that. But you need to be able to collect information to be like, what happens when I show my opponent that I will rip this shit. I will go crazy. I will fling out these fairs, these up octo slashes, these counters off stage and stuff like that, right? And kind of go for the big play and then branch off of that. And I think you used to do that when you were younger. And even like someone like Void, I think, is very similar to that too, where you up front show your opponent like, I will go for like the crazy fucking play, and then you gather information off of that and go from there. And I think just the regions you guys grew up in were two very different. So like you tried to do that in Tri-State, and you were like younger, whimsical Gavin was like, yo, I'm gonna try to get this
now Rose combo is video clip.
and then the buzz is just jabbing you with Rosalina, and you're just like, yo, fuck this. Like this shit sucks. Like buzz took all like the whimsy out of you, man.
I've talked about this for so long, especially on the show, where it's like, I really like when a player plays this well, it goes from two frame attempt to ledge trap to corner pressure back to neutral. They've collected all the information. They've had all the frame advantage. They've got some hits here and there. And when someone goes for one or the other and it gets to the point where it goes so poorly, they either get hit or now they're off getting off the ledge or getting cornered. I really don't like when that happens. I think that shows like huge mistakes being made, because these are scenarios that repeat themselves throughout the game, right? Recovering, two frame, ledge trap, corner pressure. So if you watch your opponent do it, you'll be so prepared for when it happens again, because it will happen again. So like when you neglect that, it gets a little weird. But if your character sucks at a couple of them specifically, maybe it requires some reframing. But it's difficult, because if it goes wrong and you're trying to get off the ledge versus Mia pressing B or something, man, you're gonna wish you just chilled out and kept stage control, but you know, we'll see.
But then what? Then you just lose
you're gonna lose anyway.
Is Mia the best ledge trapper in Ultimate?
I'm not even sure. I've never.
We think about it.
We talked about this a lot more back in the day in 4 when ledge trapping was like how the you core won.
Like, yeah.
I don't think ledge trapping is necessarily like the winning formula in Ultimate. Some characters just
really do it well.
Okay, so what do you mean by the best ledge trapper? Like the the one who has the most success, or the one who is constantly making the right decision?
You know who's good at ledge trapping? Spargo.
That's who I would say is the best ledge trapper. If we're talking about consistently making the correct decision.
Just ruined my whole rage bait, man.
My bad. But if we're
talking landing about that amount of grabs and forward tilts and like that kind of thing, like it shows.
And
there's probably some key players. I mean, Light is good at it, but it's like, you know.
Nah, Spargo. Like, but I do think Mia,
like
Mia is probably second.
I don't know, man. Mia hits those bacon the backers and bacon the downers. Look, bro.
Back in my day, it could have been me.
You were probably second.
In Smash 4, it was I was up there, I think.
You were up there.
Yes, you were definitely up there. You were up there with that and SDI. You had
the best SDI for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Sure. There was other players that, dude, you know what's weird? Like, this is random, but Smash 4, did Ike have a better multiplier, dude. The Ike players are cracked. No.
It is the funniest shit of all time.
It is crazy though, right?
It is really funny to say he does. I'm down to lie.
Yeah, we can spread misinformation, right?
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Like even back in Brawl, there was clips of Ike doing some weird stuff.
SDI,
it just has the
same player every time.
I just appreciate the culture behind it.
Okay, I just thought of a cool Patreon topic. Tell me if you guys think this is like legit or not. So if you could go into a time machine and tell yourself what characters to main throughout Ultimate, would you do it? And what would you say to yourself? Do you think that's an interesting topic?
There's a couple things. I want to go back in time to when I was a kid when Smash 4 was coming out and say, play Diddy Kong.
Dude, I for Smash 4.
But the thing is,
yes. Gavin, listen to me. Who cares if everyone's doing it? You would be so good at it.
You wouldn't play Diddy Kong in alt, probably.
That's the scariest thing. And that's why I don't actually have regrets. Because even if I did play Diddy Kong in Ultimate, it'd probably be so hindered. It'd probably like lack in creativity or something.
Okay, let's save it for the Patreon. Save it for sure. Yeah. So that's going to be the topic. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
I thought the clips were the.
We're changing it. I had a fire clip on Twitter.
I mean, we still look at the clips too on the Patreon content.
Yeah. We'll do it. And we'll
probably just do both.
This was a really fun episode. Congrats to Leo. apologies to any viewer who did not like us talking about this vague topic. But honestly, these are my favorite things to do on the show. This is what got the show started.
Yep.
And I always like when the viewers appreciate us going back to this type of thing. And it just comes out naturally. So
we're just Smash nerds, all right? That's it. Sorry.
Have a good one. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And we miss you, Haz.